Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So y'all can agree with that if you want. I don't know. I'll tell you again. The thing that helped me the most sitting in church was to listen to the guy that's talking for one reason. That's to find out something you can agree with. I'm serious now. I'm not kidding. I've had a hard time in church trying to find somebody I could agree with, so you have to work at it. Really? Listen for the word when it's spoken. Listen for any praise that goes towards the Lord. Make sure you're instant in season and out of season. Be ready to agree, because power is in agreement. You hear anything positive, anything about praising the Lord, any word at all, respond. It'll help you. It'll help the one that's speaking. It'll help somebody sitting next to you. I promise you. Okay, well, how many enjoyed hearing Marsha? Okay. Well, I have to tell you, that's the most I've heard her in 3 days. She don't say anything. As you can see, when she just stood up here and waited for the music, she didn't say anything.
Praise the Lord. That's the way all Texans are.
That's right. Don't forget it. Speak softly and carry a big stick. How many of you got to meet my son? Jason, come here. See, I can still order him around. Now, you know, I've always told you, maybe I haven't. I'm going to tell you. The desire of my heart in this church is to raise sons that are better than me. Did I do a good job? He's got a good start. He's not finished yet. He and I did it in union. I gave him to God a long time ago. Then you didn't even have anything to say about it. So you can do a lot of things for your kids. They don't have nothing to say about it. And the Bible promises they won't have anything to say about it later. It says raise them in the way they should go. And they'll not depart. Or they'll come back. Depends on how you read that scripture. It doesn't make any difference. Now, Marsha, why don't you stand there for a second? You've been up here once. You already broke the ice. Now, I think that Connie let this kind of slip by a while ago, but we have been grilling her, putting her over the bumps and everything. And I have decided to approve. They're going to get married. They think I'm kidding. They think I don't have to put my approval on everything he does. Isn't that right? I can stand firmly against some things. And God listens. So don't, I'm not just being smarty here. I have not given up my responsibility as a parent yet. I will not until God says, mind your own business. But he still, you understand something, you can disobey God by not having your input. As a parent, you can disobey God. You don't have to jump in their face and yell all the time, but you can go behind their back. That's a privilege of God, of a parent to God. I can go behind their back. And just because they do something doesn't mean I have to accept it. Now, what was it, June the 7th? June the 7th, and I get to do this ceremony. See, I get a double blessing on this deal. All righty. Will y'all just bless them? Put your hands up and say, bless you. Now, see, I believe they ought to live here. They think they've settled where they're going to live, but I don't think they have yet. We appreciate y'all coming. Now, I don't want to be. Come here. Just in case y'all, now, she'll pout if I don't do this. No, she won't. Now, yesterday, some of you came and some of you missed. That's okay. But, huh? Okay. Typical woman. She can't let you talk, you know. I am very proud of her. I'm proud of my son. I am proud of my children. I'm proud of my wife. I'm proud of my parents. I'm proud of my God. All right? See, if your past is gone, you have nothing to be ashamed about. And you ought to be ashamed if you're not proud. Okay. She worked hard. She graduated 5 months. Now, that doesn't mean anything. That kind of sounds strange to y'all, but she homeschooled all of her life, nearly all of her life. So the teacher said, hey, it's going to take a while. We'll go through this. And she, by the way, what was your grade point average?
4.0.
Okay. And by the way, my son took his entrance exam to get into the military, and he placed top 3% in the nation. Now, you see, now, I want you to understand something. It didn't come from the intelligence of the parents. That's right. See, that's right. That's exactly right. When you give them to God, He now has the responsibility to make them smart and make them prosperous and make them healthy. Isn't that neat? You can just give the job to God. I'm proud of her for doing what she did. By the way, this was the strangest graduation. She was the only one. There was supposed to be more, but nobody else finished. She was the only one. I never sent one through. But that's okay. We had rule of... The school didn't have rule. We did. We could just do what we wanted to do that way. Anyway, I'll give her a hand for what she did. Okay. One other thing. My parents, I think, have plans to get out of town. Sometime this week. She says tomorrow. He says whenever I get around to it. So... So if you want to, you can go to them after service and tell them how much you appreciate them, because I know you do, and tell them you don't want them to go. Make them feel real bad about leaving. And then if they're going to leave, make sure they feel like they're welcome to come back quickly. Okay? All right. We're in Revelation. You'll turn there. I'm very excited to see what God is doing, and I'm more excited to see what He's going to do.
Amen.
If you're not excited about that, we probably ought to just dig the hole and shove you in. I don't mean to be rude, but man, if you've given up on God, you might as well just give up, pull the dirt in behind you. If you think God has failed you in any way, you're wrong. He's not. Okay? The Bible says He tells you. He gives you plain instruction. He said, I want you to know the thoughts that I have about you. They're good. They're prosperous. They're healthy. Now, the last time God thought, well, not the last time, but let's just say one time when He thought, the world was changed. He thought again and Noah had deliverance. He thought again and Jesus was sent for you. So every time He has thoughts for you, they're good. Okay? So all you have to do is wake up in the morning with a thought that God's thinking about you and it's going to be good today. Then you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. Now you have a different perspective about your day. I decide that He's thinking good, so I will rejoice and I will be glad in the day that He's made for me. Right? That's right. Always. I don't understand that, but that's the way it is. Hmm? Are you asking or telling me? Okay, you're just saying it again. All right. It's coincidence. The world lives on coincidence and luck. We live by faith in Jesus. Well, I recommend you go with the flow too. The anointing. God's Holy Spirit. That would be the flow that I recommend. You'll find that in the Word. You'll find it in His presence. You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. All right. for those that are kind of getting in on the middle of this, I'm sorry, but this is where we're going to start. We're going to keep going, and the Lord will bless. All right? If you'll turn to Revelation 11:1, we're studying Revelation. I'll say this every time because John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, asking for a revelation. He wasn't asking for a revelation of the end time so he'd be smart and sell books. So he could have a TV program and tell you, like the weatherman, what was going to happen and be 98. By the way, I got some news for you. Heard this on the radio the other day. They did a recent survey, and they went to all these, the very well-known, what do you call the people that, psychics, the ones that predict. They predict the future. They went to all the well-known ones, the ones that are very well off because everybody asks them and sends their money and buys their books. They went back, I believe it was 5 years, maybe it's more. But they went back that long and they proved to be 98.7% wrong. No, the weathermen are better than that. They're 70% wrong. That's the national average, 70%. 70%. Now listen to what the world's doing. They're paying the weathermen vast amounts of money to be 70% wrong. Now we're paying the psychics vast amounts of money to be 98 to 99% wrong. The world is strange. Well,
I'm kidding. I know.
After that, I'm going to start a TV show called Coincidence. Once every 10 years, we're going to put on there the psychic coincidence and get something right.
Okay. That'll be easier than showing where they're wrong, yeah. But let me tell you one other thing. Let's get the church involved here. The reason, I've told you over and over, Satan only has one ability, and that's to mimic the gifts of God. That's all his. He's never right. Our choice in our life, go back to the choices again, is decide by the Word of God and by the Spirit who we listen to, not by the record. We don't wait 5 years and then decide the guy's wrong. The Holy Spirit was given so we'd know instantly. Anybody that comes to you with a prophecy of any type, if it does not benefit the kingdom of God, he's a false prophet. Bottom line, one way the kingdom of God would be profited or benefited is for you to be corrected. And that's where what the church runs into a rut. They don't want prophets that will correct you. They want prophets that will say good things over you about how rich you're going to be and how pretty and how all these good things are going to happen to you. Well, that only happens if you're corrected. So he's a false prophet. He didn't tell you the whole story. That's what we've got now. We've got prophets that are 98%+ wrong. And there's people in the church that are calling them up. And they're picking the paper up and they're reading their horoscope. Please, please, man. You're holding your horoscope. It's called the Bible, and there's no horror in it. Come on, let's get smart. Let's quit being as stupid as the world. That's too rude, I'm sorry. Just the truth. The truth will set you free, by the way. Not politeness. What I started to say is that's why there's so many books coming out from the church. That's why there's so many prophecies coming out from the church, because it makes money. Everybody wants to know about the future. Let's go back to Revelation. Oh, well, let's study that so we'll know the future. Oh, no. No, no. The Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he got a revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the future, Jesus Christ. And then he said, everybody that reads this will be blessed. That's why we're doing this. Okay, Revelation 11:1. King James says, and there was given me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The word reed and rod here is a device to measure. The word measure means to allot by rule, which is measure, but it's also a census. Okay? To measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The NIV says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure, assign due shares, the temple of God and the altar, and count, or assign the worshipers there. God's got an order even in His worship. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Okay? Anybody believes in tribulation time, you might as well believe we're already in it. I want you to believe that. If you don't, you're deceived. The outer court is being stomped. We talked about that earlier. It's being just absolutely stomped. There's no reverence to God in the outer court of the temple at all. There's reverence. You hire musicians. You hire bands. You hire the very... You put them up there and you work the people up so that they'll listen to you and give offering. That's what the program right now is all about in most churches. They'll send them to school and they'll say, lead them down this trail. We have to start them here with this song, and we have to lead them up these stairs to this point, and when we get to this point, we change the tempo and we lead them down this other way. That's the school. Where's the Holy Spirit in this thing? What's His job? He didn't go to school, I guess. He should go and learn. The third verse. Don't forget what we talked about earlier. The allotment, the census, I'm going to find out who's for me and who's against me, has to do with Christians that are going to be or are in the temple. All right? All right, let's keep going. You'll see. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. By the way, does anybody know how long 1,260 days is? It's the same as 42 months. Do you understand? There's an attack. There's also those that are called to prophesy. Anytime Satan decides to start something, God decides to finish it. He's just too dumb to figure that out. Okay. By the way, the two witnesses. You'll see this unfold as we read. The two witnesses are you and Jesus. You'll see that. Okay, Revelation 4, verse 11, 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, don't try to figure out the numbers. Take the big picture in this thing, because now we went from 2 to 4. But you're still the same two. The two olive trees are those that bear fruit. The two candlesticks are the light of the world. Simple. Remember, lest you become as a little child, you can't receive this. That's what the Bible says. Two olive trees, the ones that give fruit, and two lampstands, the one that give light, that stand before the Lord of the earth. Now, let me tell you something. Who is the Lord of the earth? Let me ask you something. Who is the Lord of the earth? Okay. Don't be confused. The Lord of the earth is devil. Temporarily. Actually, so temporarily that he's only... Let me follow up on what he just said. He's only the Lord of those inhabitants of the earth. That's the way that should read. He does not have dominion in the earth. That was given to the Christians by God, right? So he's not the Lord of my earth. He's the Lord of those that serve the earth. The tree huggers, the ground kissers, the ones that are so worried about the resources of the earth, they're not worried about God. The ones that their mother is the earth. How many more ways I can say that? The earth was put here for one reason, and that's make provisions for God's kids. The earth was put here and every animal that's on there so that the children of God could rule and reign. They could use them as they want, not be used by the earth. I don't have to tread lightly on the earth. You know when we're going to run out of oil? When we don't need it anymore. Because God put just enough to get us there. That's how much He made. You understand that? You know how long we're going to need the ozone level layer? Until we don't need it anymore. And it'll be there until we don't need it anymore. Trust God with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding or somebody else's. It'll work. Okay, verse 5. And if any man will hurt them... Who's them? Okay. Us. Simple enough. Those that are in Christ Jesus. Us. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Whoa. You didn't know you had fire in your mouth, did you? And devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed.
Ooh.
Now listen. Who is our enemy? This is where Christians really get messed up. Somebody will do them wrong, and they will attack the somebody. When the somebody was just the messenger boy. They were being used at the moment. Don't ever get mad at the mouth that's talking to you. Get mad at the mouth that's behind it. Because you have been given the ability to destroy Satan. That's the one that's behind any attack that comes against you. Any wrong you've ever suffered, it was Satan, not the person. If you don't get that down, you won't be able to forgive them. And if you don't forgive them, you can't be forgiven. That's word. Okay. Our enemy Satan is still defeated with the word of our mouth. That's what that scripture says. Our enemy Satan is defeated with the word of our mouth. Okay. What we're going to do in the very next verse is review the plagues and judgments that's already passed. In one little scripture or two. These have power to shut heaven. Who are these? Us. Let's don't get confused. Sometimes we get messed up and we think they have the power. No, they don't have power to do nothing. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Let's go back to the plagues. Remember the plagues? Who brought the plagues on the earth? Was it the bad guys or the good guys? It was the good guys, wasn't it? God said, go tell them. And when they told, it happened. Okay, we're the ones to prophesy. They're the ones to try to prophesy. We're the ones that are giving fruit. That's us. The one that gives light is Jesus. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, they think. Now, once again, every scripture in the Bible is historical, it's prophetical, and it's allegorical. Every scripture in the Bible. It does not have one meaning, it has at least three. All right, now what you're going to see is Jesus, that he thought he killed. And we're going into a time, the 3.5 years of the tribulation, if that's like the word you like, that he thinks he wins. Now when they have finished their testimony, or the evidence given, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. It will look as if they have been put to death or crucified. In the last days it will seem that all is lost and the devil is won. They are fools. You cannot kill a dead man. Ooh, you missed that one. I said it too fast. Now let me just stop here and kind of ride this one into the ground for a minute. You can't kill a dead man. Now I'm going to tell you this because I've been right here where you fear death. It's wrong to fear death. Because you're already dead. And how can you fear death if it's already come? The Bible promises you that if you will give your life to Him once, you will never see death. Now, either we believe that or we don't. And how can I fear something that I can't see? I can't feel. Well, how can I do that? And is it wise for me to even think about doing that? The Bible says that I'm to take into captivity every thought. And a fear is a thought. Faith is a thought. It's a decision. So is fear. You see, Satan attacked Jesus. He thought. He didn't know that's why Jesus came. He thought he scared him to the cross, forced him to the cross. He didn't know that's why he came. And he thought he killed him when Jesus said, I came to give my life. Can't kill somebody that's already given their life. Can't do it. He thought he had him tucked in for 3 days, three and a half days, if you like that number. It keeps floating around. He thought he had him in there, just like we're going to see here. That's what he gets for thinking. That's what we get for thinking. We don't have any business thinking. We have a business believing. That is our business, to believe. Okay. By the way, if your life is yours, you can lose it. If you've given it to God, it can't be lost. Right? Okay. Verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Everybody understand what the word Sodom represents? Well, it came from the word sodomy, or the word sodomy came from the word Sodom, if you like, whichever way you want to take it. It's a burning from within, which reduces strength. Sounds nearly like AIDS, doesn't it? It's dangerous, it's ferocious, it's perilous. I'm taking words from the dictionary. You got it? Sodom and Egypt. Egypt is the one that serves many gods. The one that was against the children of God. That's the reference here. Called Sodom and Egypt. Let me just be blunt. It will seem that homosexuality, lust, deceit, and all forms of evil have won. Do not be deceived. Satan is still trying to kill Christ. We forgot that he never gave up trying to kill him. Once he found out he hadn't killed him, he kept on trying. We look like Christ. His desire is to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. He never learns. Make sure you never give up. You got it? He still wants to crucify you because you look like Jesus. That's encouraging to you. I'm not trying to put fear into you. If you look like Jesus, then you can't be killed either. Okay, verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Now listen to what happens. And they that dwell, are inhabitants of the earth, shall rejoice over them. Is that you and me? No, we are not inhabitants of this earth. We are not part of this earth. They that are part of this earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. They're having a party. And shall send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. When the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, it means those that torment the world. How do you like that one? Hey, it's what it says, isn't it? The world was against the children of God and God because they tormented the earth. Well, let me say it another way. You are a pain in the rump to the world. You really are. They don't like you. The court doesn't like you. The school doesn't like you. If our president had his way, Christians would be eliminated. In the name of the Lord. In the name of freedom. In the name of justice. Well, how do I know that? I see what he's done in the past. I see what he's done to women, to men. They dance around and they party around. And you know, this sounds so much like Christmas. I've been tempted to say that 3 times and now I'm going to say it. It sounds so much like Christmas because Jesus died. We're sending gifts to one another. See, they don't ever stop with Jesus' birth. They go ahead and kill him. That's the world's way, right? They see a guy that was born and died all in one picture. They sin and they say, Christ is dead. How many of you would today say Christ is dead? Well, now you know why you bother. Now, did you get that? The reason you bother the world is because they want to put Jesus in the grave and keep him there. You guys keep wanting to bring him out. You're against everything they stand for. Verse 11, after 3 days and half, The Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. The Spirit of life from God is the breath of God, the very life-giving thing that keeps you going, fell, entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. You know how you know real Christians? The ones that are filled with the Spirit, they're on their feet. I don't mean physically. I mean inside, in every way. They're using the Word. They're standing up. They're fighting. They're resisting. They're selling Jesus. They're active. They're on their feet. They're going strong. Can't lay down and die once you become a Christian. Not the world's got to see you. And they fell upon him. The word fell means to seize them. I like that word. He just grabbed them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. I want you to... Did you get the last three or four words? Did you get it? And their enemies beheld them. Now, I want you... You don't have to turn there, but listen to me. Deuteronomy 28:7 says this, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Did you know that's a promise? They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. If you believe the Scripture, they will. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. All right. That should excite you. I don't know. Maybe I just got a little anger in me sometimes, but I don't mind seeing my enemies defeated. In fact, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I don't have to gloat over it. I don't have to take credit. But the Bible says that I need to see that. Right in front of my face, I need to see the enemies defeated. Now, our problem is we want to see them. God, I'll give you 30 seconds. And he says, I'm not going to do it in 30 seconds, so we never see him defeated. We put him on a time frame, and he don't like that. He says, I own time. You don't tell me what to do. I'll do it in the time frame that's best for you and them. Because he may have another plan, remember? Not just to destroy them, but to defeat them for their resurrection. Now verse 13 says, in the same hour was there a great earthquake. We run into that earthquake again, see there? And the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the remnant were affrighted. Yeah, okay. I read it right. Now, I want to tell you something. Being afraid and glorifying God won't get you in heaven. You may do that. You know, you may see some great miracle and you say, oh, glory to God. It won't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is repentance. Remember? You're going to stand in front of God. And many of them are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's, I don't know who you are. Oh, no, we did this and that in your name. We called out your name. No, not my name, you didn't. I don't know who you are. The second woe is past. Verse 14. The second woe is now past. And the third woe cometh quickly. Here is what I call the tenth or the last judgment. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, the angel of rest. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms are rule of this world are becoming the kingdoms are rule of the Lord. Of our Lord, and of His Christ, that would be you, the anointed, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's the very last judgment. Who says it? Who calls the last judgment? I'll read it to you again. I'll read part of it. The kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's us. I want to tell you something that we haven't figured out. One day we will. I don't know exactly what will bring it. We're going to decide when time ends. God will announce the day and the hour. We will decide the season. Think about the Scripture and you'll understand what I'm saying. We will know the season. We won't know the day nor the hour. He gives us many examples about how we're going to know the season. What's going to cause the Lord to come back? His people are saying, He really is Lord. He really does rule. We will have it no other way. That's His bride becomes without spot or wrinkle. When they say that, and they mean it. Now you remember there's only one factor that we don't have control of. And we studied that earlier, and that is when there are some people that are labeled with the seal of God. They may not be exactly ready to go yet. And when that last person says, I'm ready, then he comes. That's the only place we don't have anything to say about it, because we don't know the last guy or girl. God does. But we do know that in one accord, this body, with all their hearts, going to have to say, Jesus is Lord. I'll do anything He says, anytime He says, any way He says, and I'm going to stop being stupid and arguing with Him. I'm going to stop being deceived and believe, lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to do that anymore. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven which said, by the way, we're in heaven if we're saved. I don't know how else to tell you that. I'll tell you that over and over. We're in heaven if we're saved. Our voices are from heaven. We are heavenly voices. We are using heavenly words with our heavenly voices to bring heaven. They said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. One of the dangers of the authority and the power that the Scripture gives you is that you'll take it to yourself. We've seen it over and over on television and books and everything. Jim Baker just brought out a book that said, I was wrong. Great book. Get it, read it, understand what can happen if God gives you power and authority and you misuse it. It will explain to you the trap that the devil will set. God gives us all power and all authority with our very faith and voice, believing in what Jesus did and speaking it. If you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and not doubt, you'll have what you say. That's the amount of authority that God's given us. Dominion and rule on this earth. What has happened is we've taken that for ourselves. This Scripture is saying, when you finally understand that you take what I give you and you give it back to me, then I'll come for you. When you just give it back to me, when you give me all praise and all glory, you do it for my benefit and not for yours. If you write a book, make sure that I get the proceeds, not you. I'm the one that gave you the information. Don't take it for yourself. And don't take the credit. You didn't even think of it. I gave you the thoughts. The three woes are the three times. The first one is creation to Noah. The second one is Noah to Jesus. And the third one is Jesus to the end. 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. 6,000 years. And on the seventh day we rest. If you want to know about the time, there it is. Simple. Like a little child. God segmented it up in threes and said, on the seventh, you'll come. And by the way, when did the Sabbath begin? Gene, when does the in the Jewish community, when does the Sabbath day begin? The evening of the day before they recognize really a Sabbath. You don't wait till 6 in the morning or 12 at midnight or 8 o'clock in the morning to punch the time card. Okay? So we're very close. We're very close. We're 1,997 years of the 2,000. Think about it. 16th. And the four... Now listen, anytime God has His way, look what happens. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshipped God. Boy, these guys spend a lot of time worshipping, don't they? Saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art... That means you already are. And was, that's all you were. And to come, that means you're going to be. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, ruled. Power is rule. Verse 18. Now listen. Listen to this one. This is neat. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. Who's going to be judged? The dead. Oh, ho, ho. Now listen, you Christians ain't going to be judged. Your judgment's already come. Do you understand that? You're not going to sit in front of judgment day. You have nothing to be accused of. The accuser's not there, so there's no judgment that needs to be rendered. Right? I'm telling you Scripture. The accuser will not be there. And without an accusation, no judgment is rendered. No judgment day for Christians. It's already happened. Holy Spirit knocked on your door and said, you're wrong. You said, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. There's no more accusation. They should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Destroy them which destroy the earth. You know who's destroying the earth right now? Those that are so hard trying to save it. They're not praying. They're conserving. When God said, I'll meet all your needs, they don't believe that. They think they meet their needs with their conservation programs. Those that do not trust God destroy the earth. They're the enemies of the earth. Let me tell you what the word angry, we're angry, and wrath means. It means enraged desire. Now you've got two enraged desires here. The nations and God. The Scripture's saying here that the world was full of their own desires and lusts. So what happened was God's desires happened. They were judged. Did you hear me? Desire brings judgment. It does. Your own desires will bring judgment against you. God's desires will give you freedom. Because the enemy, the evil, will be judged. I wrote down here, the time has come. Judging the sinners, this is the Scripture, rewarding the saints, that's what it says right there, destroying the destroyer. That's how simple judgment day is going to be. Right? God's going to say, I've had enough. The sinners will be judged. The saints will be rewarded. The destroyer will be destroyed. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. His testimony, his witness, his covenant, his contract. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. That is going to come. That has already happened. Remember the Scriptures? Two different things, at least. It's going to come. It has already happened. This happened when Jesus went to the cross and died. It'll happen when we die to ourselves and give our dominion back to Jesus. Come on. Spiritually speaking, the curtain was torn in two and we had free access to the Holy of Holies. Right? That's when Jesus died. When we die to Him, the same thing happens again to us, not only spiritually, but physically. That's a promise of God. We don't accept it, but it's still a promise. The Bible says we can walk in hell. The Bible says all our needs are met. The Bible says I give you dominion. Use your words. Use the words that I gave you. Use your faith. The Bible says your flesh may get old, but not one of your abilities will get old. Isn't that what the Scripture says? It does. It promises that. And then it says that thing that's holding you back will finally pass away, but you won't feel it. Now, what was bad in that picture that God just laid out there? The word is nothing. Okay. I wrote down here for the last day. Sounds a great deal like the veil torn in two. And then it sounds like heaven's grand opening ceremony. With the lights going. You understand? God throws a grand opening ceremony. He has a party that won't ever end. He throws a bash that never ends. Except for those that forgot who God was. And then it never begins. Unfortunately, they never walked away from death, so they get to enjoy death eternally. Listen, don't value your life. Don't value your life. The one thing that I understand is that I want my children to do exactly what I say when I say it. I forgot I gave them to God. I gave them to God. I don't have the right to ask that. You think your life is yours? You're deceived. Because you, or maybe you're true. Maybe it's true. You haven't quite given it to God yet. Our flesh wants to get up from a miracle and say, I'd like to see a miracle. My goodness. The miracle is what Jesus did for you. And then the negative part of that miracle is that we haven't yet figured out what all He did for us. I don't understand that one either. I'm going to stop here, but I want to read you one other scripture that we're going to get to. If I can find it right quick. If not, I'll quote it to you. A little bit further in Revelation. Yeah. This has been really heavy on me. It's verse 11, if you want to look at it. Help me with the road maps. Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame Him. See how pinpointed, how very focused you found the enemy? See, you're not a him, and he's not a him. Satan is the him, the dragon, the serpent. They overcame Him. By the way, do you know what Him's name is? Do you know what that means? Adversary, opposer. Do you know what His real name is? Abaddon. Diablos, which means the accuser, the spoiler, the transducer, or the traducer. That's the slanderer of God. The one that slanders God is a traducer. Every time the devil accuses you, he slanders God. Now, see, what we do is we get offended and thinking that means something. I'd much rather God get offended. If I have the peace that passes understanding. Somebody told me last night, you don't know what that guy is saying about you. I don't care. That's what I said. I don't care. Because you see, if I find out what he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reply. And I'll probably make up a little stuff about him in the process. That's the human way. I tell more than I know.
What a coincidence. All those words you just spoke in verse 10, they mean government.
Anyway, relax in your salvation. Randy, relax in your salvation. You already have it. You don't work for it. There's nothing you could do to earn it. You just receive it. And then when the devil comes, by the way, the devil is the only one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care if their name is John or Jill or Jack or Bill or whatever. They don't count. They don't count. The devil comes to accuse. Your job is to say, I know who I am. Jesus I know. Who are you? Oh, man. Boy, I just got a new one on that. Woo! Jesus, I know. Who are you? That'll make your eyes water. They overcame Him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. if you adopt this scripture for a while, it'll change your life. Picture this. The accuser comes. The accuser comes. Kim, I know some things about you. Blah, 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 blah. You got to overcome. That's what it says. He's got to overcome. How does he do it? He turns and he points to the cross. He points the blood of the Lamb. Jesus. That's not enough. So I just didn't do enough. Now I've got my testimony that has to come. What's my testimony? It's the evidence of the contract that happened at the cross. Here's what I say. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. It's none of your business. That's what Ken would say to me. Jesus died on the cross. That's the blood of the Lamb. But this is what it accomplished. Now my testimony comes. See, now's my testimony. I am redeemed. I am delivered. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm prosperous. I have the mind of Christ. I am bulletproof. I'm bulletproof. The Satan's the bullet. I am bulletproof. I am no longer the one that owns my life. So you can't take my life. I don't own my reputation because I don't have one. I gave it to Jesus. Now here's my final statement about this thing. You attack me, you attack God, and I will see you fall right in front of me. That's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, of my testimony. I have just overcome him. And everything that he thought he was. We can get mad. We need to get mad. We need to start picturing his neck under our foot. How do we get it there? Blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony. You know, the problem with the world right now is they have a lot of pent-up anger and they don't know how to get rid of it. I hate this and I dislike that and it's politically incorrect if I say that. Well, tough. Say it. Hate it. But hate it the proper way. The blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony. Let me explain it one other way. If I want to hurt Satan, if I want to hurt one of his messengers, I do it only one way. I refer back to the blood of the Lamb, and I give you my testimony. And I have just hurt everything that's come against me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own thought processes. Don't lean to someone else's thought processes. You know what we do? I've seen this over and over in this body right here and many others. When somebody comes with an accusation like, do you remember your past? Do you remember you did this? Do you remember this was done to you? You are leaning to your own understanding. That's what you're doing. Why are you telling me history didn't happen? Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. Sorry. I've said it before. I'll explain it to you again. God owns time. He's the only one, according to the Scriptures, that can back it up and make it occur again, and now it's no longer on the records. I've got to get a picture I can understand. This is the way I understand it. Stan, you did that back there. Let me refer to God and ask Him if I did that back there. He runs the tape back, comes back and says, no, Stan, you didn't do that. I checked my records and I'm the only one that has the records. And it's not there. So ask the guy how to spell. Didn't happen. Oh, man, the devil's mad now. See, he's keeping his own records. Do you understand that? He keeps a record. What a stupid... He's wasting all this energy keeping records and trying to play them back to you when they don't even exist. Sounds like some of this campaign stuff they got going on. Don't it? They do not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They don't love their lives so much that they fear death. Let me tell you the era that some of you are beginning to go through. Some of us have gone through and are still going through. There's a time in a Christian life when there's grace always, but there's this grace period where God will let you make a fool out of yourself. Now, come on. How many of you have had kids? How many of the kids make fools of themselves? You want me to recount all the times when you were little? They did some of the dumbest things. They really did when they were little. Just do dumb things. You know what? It never changed my opinion about them. Not one time did it. Never once. Never once made me not love them. Not one time. The Bible says I got that feeling from God. They're getting older now. They're more mature. That means the requirements are different. The requirements are different now. You're not going to get by with the dumb things without me saying that was dumb. Sorry. I'm trying to compare this to a Christian walk. Mm-hmm. Not after my kids. There's a time in a Christian's life where they think they can handle everything with their hands and their force. They will force things to happen. I don't like it, I'll change it. That's the immature way. And then there comes a time when God says, I'm going to find out if you're serious. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to see if you will not lean to your own understanding. If you will trust me with all your heart. In my life, I never will forget that there was a time where I suffered a heart attack. I didn't have to ask the doctor about that. It's my heart. I don't care about his opinion. I know what's going on. You know when you're leaving the earth. You know. And I rose up. And I shook it off. You take every thought into captivity. And that doesn't mean you're through. That means you've started. You know? And I called my dad and I said, read the Bible. Quick. You better have somebody that'll read. You better have somebody that'll quote. You better have it. You know why I asked him to read? Because I couldn't. I couldn't even hold the Bible. I was so weak that I couldn't even, I just barely could set. Somebody else held the phone. Do you think the devil gives up that easy? The next thing, somebody comes along with a blood pressure machine. Let me take your blood pressure. And I saw on their face, when they took my blood pressure, I didn't have to ask. I saw tremendous fear on their face. And I yanked it off and I threw it on the ground. I said, don't you ever put one of those on me again. Never. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God. No longer can you physically win battles. You're going to have to start doing what you said, which is trusting the Lord with all your heart. And then he comes along and says, I'll kill you in the middle of church. I'll kill you. I'll take your heartbeat right from you in the middle of church. That's how powerful I am. And I said, well, let's go find out. You think you're something? Let's go. You got to learn to fight. How do you learn to fight? You resist false authority. That's how you fight. You can't punch it out with him. You just say, I know Jesus. Who are you? Well, I got this badge. I know Jesus. Who are you? Well, I'm the pastor of the church. Hey, I know Jesus. Who are you? Well, I'm the guy that has your health. No. I know Jesus. Who are you? If he threatens you in any way, be mean enough to challenge him. He'd say, if you go to sleep, I'll kill you. So you've got to whip him on every front. If you lay down and go to sleep, I'll take your life in the middle of the night while you're asleep. Now that's the rough one. That's the rough one. That's the one that you have to fight. And I learned, when you wake up and you're in a cold sweat and you don't even have a heartbeat, or you've got one that's going 10,000 miles an hour and you don't have enough strength to even turn over, you go, pray. You know who I just hit? Somebody that's equally yoked. My wife. Pray. I can't. Your mouth is so dry that you don't even have words. Your tongue won't work. And you lay there and you listen to the Word. Because you know him is defeated. You want the devil to dodge? Speak the word. You want him to stay? Speak the problem. That's a real simple formula I just gave you. Write it down on the doorpost of your heart. You want the devil to flee? The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Your testimony better be the word of God. You want him to stay? You want him to stay? You speak the problem. But you don't understand how I feel. Oh, I don't. Maybe you don't understand what I understand. You know, people never think that you know what you're talking about. They never think you've been there before. Listen, the word will make him run. A report, the wrong report, will make him stay and get strong. Does he ever give up? No. Does he get weaker? Absolutely. You get to the point where you don't... Let me tell you something. Here's what kills him. You get to the point where you wake up in the middle of the night with that feeling and it doesn't scare you. Now you know you've won. Why? Because your faith in God's what Jesus did is stronger than what Satan can do. Larry's been having some problems with this. Brings my memory back real fresh. Larry, Jesus is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. It will feel like you're a loser, but that's not possible because you are in Christ Jesus. And He don't lose. I used to have those heart things come on. And I wore out more tennis shoes. I'd go put my running shoes on and I'd run. I'd tell him, I'm going to put these on. You say you can kill me. I say you can't. Let's find out. That's the way I did it. I nearly killed my wife. She'd try to stay with me. I was on a mission. She was just trying to keep up. Yeah. I remember the last time I got to feeling so sorry for her, I gave it up. But I ran with a guy that was nuts about running. You know those clocks where you 7 minute miles? And I talked to him for 5, 6, 7 miles. Open conversation the whole time, running like crazy. Never run out of breath. Now, I had to get over that because that created another problem. It was a drug high that my body was producing. And I became addicted to that. And I had to quit that. Jesus is the answer. I got caught up in something on that one, you know. I thought that was my salvation. I forgot who my salvation was. It was, the fight was fun, though. I really did kick him real hard. Amen. We have the ability to do that. We not only have the ability, we have the obligation to do that. Do you think that Jesus saved you just to keep you out of hell? Come on. Listen.
A lot more fire,
so. Absolutely. God has a grit in His teeth and a growl in His voice that's stronger than you've ever heard. What He created you for was to stomp the devil. That's what He created you for. That gives Him great pleasure. Come on, let's see Him like He really is. Does He love me? Oh, absolutely. So much that He wants me to whip my enemies because they're His enemies. Do you need to say something?
There's a great Smith Wigglesworth story. I believe this for Larry and all of us. One night in the middle of the night, he was down to sleep and he felt somebody staring at him. He woke up and rolled over and he never sleep in form like he tries to appear, you know, in that crazy form, you know. And Smith Wigglesworth, he was sitting in Smith Wigglesworth's favorite rocking chair in his bedroom, looking out the bay window and sitting there staring, trying to figure out what he could do to Smith Wigglesworth.
That's it. That's not a story. That's history. That's a testimony. That's a fact. We can do the same thing. Jesus, I know. You, I don't.
That.
That's a physical.
Something like that would be a piece of cake.
That's exactly right.
I can't breathe.
No.
And I got an hour and a half sleep last night. I've got about 15 hours sleep in the last 5 nights. And it's fear comes on you.
Yes, sir.
And when you say fears of the devil, and I guarantee you that's true.
Doesn't make it any less real.
And when he's got you like this or whatever, I mean, when you can't get air, I'd rather go 50,000 different ways than not get breath.
The, if you want to experience this,
James praying, I'm praying, and we all prayed the other night. And
if you want to experience it, I'll give you a recent. In my life, if you go scuba diving, there's certain things that can happen in scuba diving, and one of them is this thing that he's describing, where you're breathing and yet you can't get air, and that tank with 3,000 pounds of pressure cannot deliver enough air to you. By the way, it's here. That's where it's at. There's nothing wrong with the air. There's nothing wrong. And the minute, let me tell you what happens. The minute you, if you don't panic, and believe me, most panic. That's the whole idea of learning to scuba dive, is to teach you not to panic. It's not to teach you how to breathe. Everybody knows how to breathe. You'll start flying to the surface, and that's what will kill you. Not the lack of air, the flying to the surface. If you can, here's the remedy to it. And I'm telling you, it's just as real. You can't get air. You're taking in vast amounts of air, and it's not there. It's like you're not breathing. In fact, it'll do the opposite. You'll breathe so hard that you will
hyperventilate,
which is just as, can be just as deadly underwater. If, here's the way they, come here, buddy. This is my dive buddy. She has a responsibility in my life when I get in trouble. And I in hers. This is what you do. You have a strap and you grab it and you go. You understand what I'm doing? Look in my eyes. See, something has to get real all of a sudden. I'm in an unreal world. Look in my eyes. And now this part of me takes control of an ascent or a descent, because there's two things that are happening. She's in control because she's worried about me, and that takes the focus off of her. The second thing is happening is I'm beginning to look at something with skin on it, not this bubbly world. And I can see that she's not afraid. And I'm being brought back into reality. If necessary, we go up. But we just do it at a righteous rate. If necessary, we step there and we write a note to each other. We share the word. Now, Larry, I was not trying to cut down what happened to you. I told you I've been through it. Just in case you heard me say that. I know you are, and we're hearing. That's right. Fear is real. Fear is real. Anybody that says it's not, it's a lie. Is it from Satan? Yeah. That didn't mean it didn't come. That didn't mean it wasn't real. It was there. It's real. That's not the end of the story. So is faith. And what we have to do, this is the way God designed it. It's not our choice. We have to get a buddy. Fortunately, I've got a good one. She doesn't panic in the middle of the night. She quotes the word. And sometimes, Larry, it takes a while. It used to. Now it's not taking hardly any time. It used to take a long time. And if you think it's fake, she was in the same bed. Ask her. Ask her when she'd put your hand on the chest if the heart rate was the same. Ask her if the sweat felt the same. It's real. But what's more real is the Word of God. That's my decision. What's more real? What I'm going through are the promise of God. This is the test everybody in this room has to go through. What doesn't have to be the same thing. It's kind of coincidental that he and I are talking about the same thing. But it doesn't have to be the same thing. It does not. It's life-threatening. It can be in your children. I've told you before. This girl of mine one time when she was little, she was dying from the lack of breath. Truly. Called an asthma attack. And I remember in that den over her saying, God, your word is real. Your word is real. I've decided it's real. Now I'm going to take her to the doctor. Take her to the great physician. I gave her to you. Now let's see. Well, she didn't have it anymore. And it was already diagnosed. It wasn't my imagination. Was it real? Yes. But what's more real? Jesus, I know. Jesus, I have a personal relationship. Jesus told me in my personal relationship that He's my healer and He's my protector and He's my provider. Jesus, I know. Fear, I fully intend not to know You. Doesn't mean it all happens at one minute. Faith without works, you're dead. Let me tell you something. Anybody that thinks that what Larry's going through is fake, it can kill him. It can kill him. See, the Bible says that in the last days there will be many that their hearts fail from the fear. So can it kill you? Absolutely. Just to say it can't, it's foolish. Can it? See, now I have to go in a thought process. Can it? Yeah, if I let it happen. Well, I won't let it happen. My next thought, well, how do I keep it from happening? Now we go into the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Right? Now we're going to pray for Larry because I'm going to, you know? And this time when you look into the eyes, you're going to see Jesus. It's a good statement. Will it ever happen again? Well, you know, if a guy breaks in your house and you're unarmed, he wins. Does that guarantee he will never happen again? No. But you get armed so you can say, please come. Come on. I'm ready for you now. Does that mean that it'll all go smooth? No. But I'll guarantee you practice enough and he will die. He will stop harassing you. Right? Just a little practice. That's an inside joke there. Larry, why don't you come on up here? Your friends and loved ones want to pray for you. We want to share. We don't want to share your fear. We want to share our faith. Anybody that comes with any condemnation to Larry will enjoy condemnation at a later point. So please don't do that. That was a statement that Connie was making to him. Let me repeat it to you. The Bible promises that in the fire you won't be burned. It doesn't say you won't go through the fire. That's what she told him. Larry's always been the type of guy that if he can put his hands on it, he can take care of it. Well, now he's going to have to put his spiritual hands on it. And we're going to stand with him. Not only in the attempts, but in the accomplishment, the victory. Now, Larry, what I said was that you're going to be victorious. That's what I said. That he will not win, you will. And in turn, that means God has won. Everybody agree with that? Then we're going to enter into that just right off the bat. We don't have to a bunch of fancy words. Let's get into the agreement that he's already overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. All right. Father, we do love you. We love Larry. We've seen him whip bigger things than this. Let me remind you of something right in the middle of this prayer. When David had to face Goliath, which was sure death, what did he do to win? Don't tell me about the five stones. What did he do? What did he prophesy? Well, what was the first thing? Let's don't get fancy with the words. What he remembered was his past victories. He prophesied after the victories. You're right. But what he said is, I remember, Larry, things popping in your mind now where you've already won spiritually. I remember the lion and I remember the bear. And in you, in compared to them, you're nothing. All right? Then he prophesied, I'm going to feed your hide to the buzzards. Turned his words on him. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you quicken our remembrance right at the right times to increase our faith. Lord, I thank you that before the foundations of the earth, Larry was a gleam in your eye. And not only just as one that was born and would die, but one that would be an overcomer, victorious. I know the miracles you've already done. I know about Jesus on the cross, falling off. I remember that story. I remember the finger and the guy flying backwards. I remember the visions. We're going to help him remember these things. And God didn't do that to bring him to this point right now so he could watch him die. That isn't the way parents do, and we're not going to receive that as a report. Satan, we hope you're hearing us, because we're reminding you that you're already defeated. And we're going to say one other thing. As we're reading Revelations, we see that you're put back into that stinky, hot pit where you belong. We remind you of your future. Now we remind us of ours. We are overcomers. We are in Christ Jesus, more than authority over you, more than powerful over you. You are nothing. Jesus, we know. Larry, I know. Larry knows Stan. But we don't know you. We don't know you, and we don't intend to. We don't intend to lose any more sleep becoming intimate with your attack. You're going to become intimate with ours. Hallelujah. The Word of God we place in Larry's heart to flow freely in the middle of battle. We place it in Jane's heart, her healing, and the Word to overcome the enemy. And God, we now avail ourselves in the Spirit so that you can call on us in the middle of the night and say, pray for Larry. Pray for Larry. And we will stand against the enemy with him. We do it now. We don't lay those weapons down. We fully intend for the glow and the beam to be back on Larry's face. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And Larry will not forget past victories, and he'll not forget this one. But he will share them with others so that we can multiply the oppression, depression, and whipping of the devil. Hallelujah. We speak. We speak peace that passes all understanding. We speak it into him. We curse fear in the form of not wanting to sleep, not being alone. We curse that now in Jesus' name. Satan, we tell you the truth. You can't have him. You can't have him. You can't have his sleep. In Proverbs, it says that God's children are given sweet sleep. God does not lie. We will not allow you to take it away from him. We stand with him. Hallelujah. We are honored to stand with him. We thank you that you can use us to whip the devil with Larry. Now, we thank you in advance that we're going to enjoy the profit from this battle. The spoils of this battle will be weapons, more weapons, to go out and whip the enemy in more fronts than he's ever seen before. Hallelujah. God, we love you. Satan, we want you to hear this. We love Jesus with all of our hearts. We fully intend to serve him. And I have one more personal statement that I used to make to you. If I die now, it'll just mean that I'm with the Father, and you lose anyway. So all you can do is speed up my existence in heaven with the Father. And if you think that's winning, you're a fool. It's winning for me, but not for you. We love you, Lord. We give you the highest praise. We will not speak the oppression or the attack anymore. We will only speak the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Now, everybody that agrees that he's healed, mentally, physically, and spiritually, says amen. Now, don't leave. Everybody that says that he's more than a conqueror against any attack says amen.
Amen.
And everybody that agrees that he will turn this into a sharp weapon against the enemy and further the kingdom will say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's what?
Randy Shaw, cigarette breath, blowing my way, signal smoke, my two or five or 2 minutes, ask the Holy Spirit, and ask Randy. Randy wants to give that up.
Okay.
Only if the Holy Spirit.
Listen. I fully believe this morning. I fully believe this morning that there are numerous people in this room that God has spoken to them about some things in their lives. Don't act like you're not one of them. God don't lie to me. Come on, let's get real. He didn't put me up here so that I can be deceived. He tells me things so that I'll know. I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking about or the whos I'm talking about and what's I'm talking about, because it's nobody else's business but but yours and God's. I want to know if anybody else needs us to pray about anything or wants to openly pray or wants us to pray for them or with them. I'm trying to get the hearts clear. That's what I want. Everybody in agreement that will happen? Yeah. Your prayers will be answered. Yeah. Now, Floyd, what it'll require is some changing on your part. Please, let me get Floyd out of my mouth. Anytime that God is convicting you about a situation, there's a problem with you. I know you didn't want to hear that. I could have talked all day and not said that. But anytime that there's a situation in your life, I'm not saying sin. Please don't hear me. I'm saying that God wants something changed in your life. And He's going to use that opportunity. So, Floyd, what's going to happen, or has already happened, and I'll go with the latter, the Lord has already told you some things you need to change. You don't want them to know it, do you? Because if you do, I'll tell them. Okay, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm telling you the Holy Spirit is good. I'm not going to tell them. You already know what it is. You do that, and your finances will be changed.
We all need new life every day, don't we?
Randy, what? Won't do any good. No, it won't do any good. Listen, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm telling you that we've already agreed with you. I'm telling you, this is how powerful prayer is. We've already agreed with you. Man, we've covered every aspect of your life from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I'm telling you, Randy, it's already done. And I'm not trying to get after you. I want you to praise God that it's already done. I'm serious. In fact, I'm feeling really good about it. I don't know about you, but I got goosebumps right now because of what I just said. I want you to receive it, Randy. Now, one other thing, just like we were talking to Floyd, the Lord's going to start talking to you about some things He wants you to change. One of them is your speech habits, what you say. You don't need to be saved again. You start telling the devil, I'm saved. You don't have to get saved every day. That's right. You say it. Every time he tells you different, you tell him, I'm saved. All right? Alcohol's got to go. Tobacco's got to go. All the vices have to go. All of those things that have pinned you to the wall and beat you up in the past, they got to go, Randy. They got to go. Randy, we love you. I'm serious. We're going to keep remembering you. I tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to lay you on minds at various times during this next week. And you're going to walk through healing. You understand that? Don't look for the miracle. Look for the healing. Do what? Now, your habitation is not a nursing home. You see, we're the ones that nurse. Christians are the ones that nurse other people. So what we're going to do is keep praying that you're going to be brought from a place where you have to be nursed into the position where you do the nursing. You're the doctor. You have the word of the Lord that gives healing. All right. He's looking at me funny. I want you all to listen to me. Randy, the reason we go through things in our lives is so that we can touch other people with the same problem. That's why we go through them. Don't be mad at the devil about your past. Give God the credit for the healing, and then heal. God only will use your track record to touch other people's lives right in that area. That's the way it works, guys. That's what you're called to do. The reason you've been through a certain boot camp or a certain situation or problem is because those same situations are going to meet you later. And you're going to be saying, I know, I was there. This is my recommendation to you through experience. You can talk their language.
I'd like to have prayer for Pat and for Sean. He's in a hospital.
He?
Yeah. Sean.
The son's, her son. I'm sorry. I was looking at something else.
He's been in there for a couple weeks or so.
What's the name? What's the name they've given it? Bowel obstruction, peritonitis, blood poisoning. These are the names that the devil has given to him. The scripture that was put in there that Jesus is a name that takes dominion over all names was not just something that you could hang on your refrigerator. Okay? The picture has been given. They named it. Now there's a picture. What is our job to do? What is our job now? That's another picture, isn't it? Now, which one do we like the best? Well, let's choose that one then. That's how simple it is. Let's choose it. Let's pray together right now, okay? Mark is his name, right? Father, you love him? You want him healed? I'm telling you, that feeling came from God. That feeling came from God. Father, we love you. We trust you with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding. Our own understanding would be to receive the report of the doctor. But instead, we're going to look at the cross and say, Jesus was bruised, he bled, he took stripes, and he said, I did it for one reason, so that Mark, Randy, Larry, and all the rest of us would not have to go through it. Now, we're going to receive that as truth above all truths. There's no other truth that takes the power and authority away from that. So we as a group send the word to Mark and say, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be saved, delivered, healed, restored, redeemed in all forms, mind, emotions, and will, body, finances, spirit. God, we don't figure that we pray in vain. We read in Revelations that now that prayer goes up. It's mixed with incense. It's mixed with fire from the altar, and it returns in thunder and lightning bolts, and it shakes the earth. Now let it shake where Mark is standing right now. Let it shake the heart of the mother. Let it shake the heart of this group. Not as a faith shaking, but as a faith building shake. Let it be so in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees that it's already done says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anything else? Her son is named Travis? Okay. Oregon? And what's wrong again?
Alcohol.
You know, they called it, the old timers called it spirits. And they had a reason. They had a reason. They knew it took control of lives, right, Dan? But it don't keep control. What was it? Travis. Once again, direct your attention to Travis and the mom. We don't pray for one without the other, okay? Father, we love you. We trust you. Here again comes the prayer so that we can see the lightning and thunder, the earth shake in Travis's life. Here's what we pray. We prayed this before and we were successful. So we're going to do it again just out of childlike faith. Every time he touches alcohol, he becomes ill. In Jesus' name. Not to teach him that alcohol is bad. God, change it so that he understands that Jesus is good. Holy Spirit, we don't know how to describe this, but you know how to make it happen. Every time he touches alcohol, for his own deliverance and his own good, he becomes sick until it becomes a foul taste in his mouth and he never wants to touch it again. But instead, this hunger and thirst after this spirit turns into a hunger and thirst after the Spirit of the living God. And he becomes a mighty minister of the Word, a mighty minister of the Word, and he's able to touch other people that have this same problem. Hallelujah. Save, redeem, heal. In all aspects. The family. The mother, the son. Because history has to be healed too. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees that it's done says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the way, please. A workman is worthy of his hire. We have worked on your behalf. The payment we want is we want to hear about the results. That's the payment we want because that increases our faith. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So testify when it happens, okay? Yeah, you're kind of human.
But I know that I need His presence.
Absolutely.
Every moment. And I go through most of my days with just, you know, muffins and brain.
Please remember something. Oh, no, let me state it another way. How many of you would be willing, anxious, and would accept without reservation the Lord would wake you up in the middle of the night? Larry, there's one other thing that I learned to do when I finally started getting control of these things. That every time that I wake up, I make sure that the minute I wake up, I start praising the Lord. So that I don't know what all that does, but it's kind of like the devil gets afraid to wake me up. Yeah, he regrets waking me up because he knows what's going to happen. Start there. I know you're tired. I know you work hard. Give him the opportunity to wake you up in the middle of the night. For some reason, it's just a perfect time to give him some good, unadulterated praise and worship, and it creates a hunger for the day. It's kind of like doing exercise in the middle of the night, so when you wake up, you're really hungry. We agree that a hunger and a thirst will enter him and take him over. It makes everything else look nothing. All right? We speak lust on you. Come on, don't let your mouth drop. We speak lust on you. That you'll lust after the things of God. Anybody that's ever had any problems with lust knows how strong that is. So we just spoke the strongest thing on him. But we directed it. Okay? Everybody agree?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll see him panting after God.